All right. Well, I think that we're still only expecting Rita. So let's get started. You can go ahead, Diane.
Okay. So I'd like to call the meeting to order. Julia's out of town, out of country, so I'm running it. We'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting. Well, actually, we can't because we're not in person, but anybody have any comments on the last meeting or minutes or any changes?
No.
Okay.
Hi. All right. So let's move on. Any public comments? Anyone with public comments? Do we have any public people on the line?
It doesn't appear so.
Okay. So president's comments. Everything is hitting. We are getting positive COVID, flu, both A and B, RSV, and plenty of strep. So the holidays should be interesting. keep yourself safe.
What about RSV? Diane, what about that? RSV?
Yep. RSV, COVID, both flus and strep.
It was on the news yesterday morning about the southern states getting hit very, very hard. Children's hospitals overflowing with RSV patients.
We've had a number of kids admitted with RSV.
Okay.
So.
And are you able to give the vaccine for RSV or don't you have
supply? We have minimal supply, so we can only give it to high risk.
Okay.
So I don't think I've given it to anybody yet. We're going to be calling in those that would be higher risk soon. So, all right. On to health officer report.
So I only have a couple of updates from this month. I may or may not have talked to you guys about we were engaging with Aurora Kenosha Hospital for an emergency department MOU to receive data that has passed. We haven't gotten any overdose information from them yet, but our MOU has passed and at least we're able to work with them. Want to give you an update. Our preparedness supervisor has begun assisting the Milwaukee, assisting in readiness for the Milwaukee RNC. So she's actively participating in those events. They're slow going. They're just starting to get established. And I think they're a little bit slower this time because they think that they have some foundation from when we were planning for the DNC. So as I hear more, I'll let you know, but she is going to those meetings at least to listen in. We had the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection in here performing an audit of our licensing food retail program. I believe that all went well. They review policies and procedures, the communications that we have with facilities and inspection protocols and our code knowledge. They don't do, when they're done with the audit, like an on-site wrap-up like they used to. So we have to wait a month or two to hear anything. But I would suspect, you know, if there was something that's stuck out, we would have known about it. And then as a Halloween gift, our lab finally received the new instrument to do our screening for fentanyl in our clinic. So that is getting set up, calibrated, and they're receiving education to begin working on that piece of instrumentation. That will take away our manual UA process in the clinic. So it's a two-part improvement for us. Number one, for those clients that come in that are in our MAT program that we intend to give Vivitrol to, if if we do pre-screen them. We haven't been able to pre-screen for fentanyl in the past. This will allow us a screening mechanism for fentanyl. So if they have some fentanyl on board, if, even if they don't know it from a different use of a different substance, we can at least detect that. And that's important. So if they have fentanyl on board, we can't give them their Vivitrol or we'll put them in withdrawal. And that has happened to us once before while we were treating a client in the clinic. The other piece to that is it'll automate our manual dipping of the urines to test. And so our accuracy for all of our testing for DCFS and treatment court and veterans court and PSG, that will be somewhat more accurate with this instrument. So that's a really good thing. It was a nice Halloween gift for us to get. That's the piece of instrument that I went to the opioid settlement advisory committee about, and they did approve to fund that instrument. So any questions about any of that? We're pretty good with staffing. We have a few open positions. We had three. We just hired a communicable disease nurse to fill that vacancy. We have an open environmental health tech position that we did interviews for last Friday, and we are blessed to have three good folks to pick from. So we're whittling down that right now. And then we do have a Bright Family Beginnings member, a staff member that has worked here for 32 years, Lisa Miller, who is retiring at the end of this year. So we'll begin interviews for that later this week. And I think that's all I have to report. Anybody have any questions on any of it? Okay. Excuse me. One other thing. I should let you know about this. Two other things. Last week, the county board finally approved the budget. So that's been approved and signed by the county executive. And then last week, Tuesday, there were three county board meetings, separate county board meetings. One was a budget, and two other meetings that proceeded after that. The third meeting, there was a resolution to move my appointment for director to the Human Services Committee. So on December 5th, I will be at the Human Services Committee and hopefully gaining their trust and acknowledgement and moving it back to the county board for approval. That final approval at the county board most likely won't happen until January, simply because the second county board meeting of December is closer to the holiday and they usually do cancel that one. So by the beginning of the year, if everything goes appropriately, I should be the new approved health director. All right, now I'm finished. Sorry about that, guys. I have a guest with us today. Her name is Gillian Redmond. She is the supervisor of our communicable disease program. We've had some interesting cases as of late, and so I wanted to invite Gillian and give her the opportunity to educate you guys a little bit about what our program is all about and provide a little update for you. So Gillian, go ahead.
Thank you for the warm welcome, Lori. Hi, everybody. I'm Gillian Redmond. I am the Communicable Diseases and Childhood LedSafe Nurse Supervisor. I also am the Nurse Supervisor for the Well Women's Wisconsin Program and the Prevention Services Network Nurse Program. So I'm going to touch a little bit on a few of those, and then I'll dive into communicable diseases because there's been some great updates that I want to provide. So for the Wisconsin Well Women's Program, this is a case management program that helps women who are underinsured or uninsured receive cervical and breast cancer screenings. It doesn't cover diagnostics, but it does cover screenings, so pap smears and mammograms. Historically, the ages have been 45 or higher. They have just changed it this grant year, starting in July, to be 40. So any immigrants or undocumented that you have that don't have any insurance or are underinsured, please promote our program to them so that they can get those screenings necessary. If they do receive a screening and they end up having a positive result and need diagnostics or treatment, our case manager, Kira, she works with Aurora, their financial department, and they get them those diagnostic set up and treatment as well. So it's a really great program, and it's really great they've changed this age as well. If anyone, any female, is having any symptoms for breast or cervical, the age can be dropped to 35. We also have really launched this year our Prevention Service Network nurse position. We used to have this historically, and then it kind of fell to the wayside during COVID, and we brought it back this year. It's been exactly a year since we've had our nurse, Christine. And so what she does is anybody that is enrolled in Prevention Services Network, DCFS, CPS clients, any family, whether it's the parents or the children, have any kind of medical conditions, DCFS and PSN had noticed that they were really having difficulty providing them any kind of medical management. So we have this position now where Christine will be referred, and she will work with these families as a medical advocate. She can attend their doctor's appointments, help with medication management, help with any kind of treatment management. She's done some really great things. Since she's been here for exactly a year, she's had 20 families enrolled in the program. One of the families, she really advocated and worked very diligently with this young gentleman and ended up helping him to get a primary care physician appointment, which he attended. They referred to a cardiologist, and he ended up getting a triple bypass surgery. So she basically saves his life. She's really wonderful to work with. They do not need to be fully enrolled in PSN, nor do they have to be CPS or DCFS. So if you just notice a family is really struggling with their medical and they're on Medicaid, they're underinsured, and there's children in the home, you're welcome to refer her to PSN. If PSN feels that they do not need to have their own social worker case management and just medical management, they'll make the referral for Christine. And any questions on those two programs before I move to the communicable diseases? Great. So communicable diseases, we've traced every reportable communicable disease. There's over 75 reportable communicable diseases in the county. They all go through us, whether it's a confirmed case, a suspect, a probable, or not a case. We investigate all of them to determine what their status is. Since January 2nd, we have investigated over 2,000 communicable disease cases. So with that too, that's going to be anything from GI issues, so Salmonella, E. coli, anything that's fungal, so blastomycosis, cyclosporas. We work with medication drug resistant organisms as well. We do a lot of work with our long-term care facilities in making sure that they're using the correct measures to mitigate any kind of communicable diseases. We also follow up on all tuberculosis cases and latent tuberculosis cases. So we investigate all of them. We've been a small but mighty team. We were short staff. We did lose one of our nurses, so I've had one nurse that's been really working hard on these cases, along with the assistance of three temporary/part-time that have been assisting us with cases as well. We also follow up on all STIs, which we have seen a drastic increase in our chlamydia and gonorrhea cases. Stay tuned. I would love to work with all of you in the future on how we can, you know, get some good education out there, especially for our clinic and the STI work that they're doing there. We also follow up, we have a grant with our state for HIV partner services. Not all county health departments have this, so we're really fortunate to have this. And what we do is case management for newly diagnosed in the state of Wisconsin. So whether it's a completely new diagnosis or they moved from another state where they had been previously diagnosed, any new diagnosed in Wisconsin, we follow up case management. We work on getting them set up with resources. The HIV medications can be very expensive for many people. So we work in getting them set up with programs that will help assist with the payments for medications. And we just do a lot of resource work with them, along with contact tracing and investigation. Any contacts they have, we get them set up with resources as well and ensure that they get tested and follow appropriate care, or that they're put on post-exposure prophylactic treatment. Last year, in 2022, we had 3 HIV partner service cases. So there was 3 newly diagnosed in Wisconsin. Since January 5th of this year, we have just received our 11th HIV case. So we are working really hard. There's a lot of extensive training involved to be an HIV partner service. So my one nurse, Lauren, has been working very diligently and on these cases, and she's done a lot of work. We've seen a lot of trends lately with people under 30 being diagnosed. We've had 5 under the age of 30. And I have seen trends where it's not really following what the messaging is out there of HIV. So those that don't really seem to be in the high risk categories are coming to us. So again, along with the STI, I'd love to work in the future and how we can really address education to our younger population. With our communicable diseases, we also have had active TB tuberculosis cases. So with tuberculosis cases, we are required by state statutes that anybody diagnosed with infectious active tuberculosis must be given services of directly observed therapy, meaning we have to monitor our patients taking their medications on a daily basis. We do not monitor them taking their medications on a daily basis, their medication does not count towards their treatment. Treatment is typically 6 to 9 months of medications. We had closed and finished out 2 in the beginning of 2023, and then we received in June a full active TB client. He had been a very challenging client. In the beginning, he came with many social determinants of health. A lot of education and reinforcement was needed with him, and a lot of rapport building was needed with him. We did 7 days a week of DOT services for the first 2 months. So every single day for 2 months, we were there Monday through Monday, watching him take his medications. We do have a contract with state called a TB dispensary program. And so people who are active, have active tuberculosis, are required to isolate until they convert a sputum, 3 sputum samples. This can take quite a few months. For this particular client, it did take a little over 2 months to convert him. He also has a very rare strand of tuberculosis, which is medication drug resistant. So they had to start him on second line treatment. So we had him in June. His treatments will continue until the end of April, possibly the beginning of May, that we've been working with him. Our TB dispensary program with state, we've worked with them very closely, so we've been able to help him pay his rent when he hasn't been able to work, help him pay his phone bills, electric bills, etc., even help with some groceries that we can. He was not very compliant in the beginning with his treatment or DOT on isolation. He would venture out. So it pose a challenge because we have never dealt with this situation in our jurisdiction at our health department. And it's not a very common situation that many other health departments have ever had to deal with. So we learned a lot during this with him. We were able to work with our corp counsel, and thank you to Jen. And we were able to create isolation orders. So we have a new process now in place. So that was a positive outcome of that. We have a new policy in place and processes in place to issue these isolation orders. If someone violates these isolation orders, we can take it to court and have a judge sign for containment. So during this process as well, I've been able to connect with our detention center and work on if that situation ever did arise, we'd have a place to place them for isolation until they were cleared off by their three sputums. We ended up working really well. He's on a great track now. He has been cleared off isolation, so he's still continuing his medications. We worked really diligently with our IT department. He's been wanting to get jobs, so he's been working various temporary jobs. He has no vehicle. He does have a support system, but not enough that would take him to his employments. So he at times would catch a bus at 6 a.m. and there I would be at 6 a.m. right before his bus came, giving him his meds. It became daunting for both of us. So we worked with our IT department and they were able to supply him with a smartphone, iPhone. And we've been able to utilize our electronic medical records to do telehealth with him 4 days a week. I go 1 day a week to give him his meds for the whole week, and then we do the telehealth. So it's made a world of difference for him and for myself and my team. So it's, again, it was a lot of outside the box thinking with him and coming up with innovative ways to keep him on track, to keep our community safe, and to keep him on his medications. He was extremely ill, so it's been a long road for him. We also follow up on all leads. So any lead level that is a 3.5 or to a 9.9, we provide over the phone education. We work with providers and the families to ensure that every 3 months they're going and getting a redraw of their venous levels. We have followed up on over 145 lead cases since January 2nd. That was a 3.5 to a 9.9. If any child presents with a lead level over a 10, then we work with our environmental team and our healthy urban development homes, and we do provide in-home services. So we go out in the home, we assess the child, we do ASQ reviews, check their developmental status, and then our environmental team does risk assessments on the home to locate any lead, and then they work with contractors for lead abatement. In 2022, we had a total of 4 that we worked with, and since January 1st of 2023, we have 11 cases that are on our caseload for in-home services, and that our environmental team is working with us on their homes for abatement. I believe that is it with our updates. Any questions?
Are you seeing with the influx of the immigrants, are you seeing anything with them?
Yes, we are seeing a lot of latent tuberculosis. And so this year we have actually, we put together an MOU agreement with MH Imaging because we had noticed that one of the barriers was they are no longer screening immigrants prior to coming into our country. They are telling them once they're placed to go to their local health department. So they would arrive here, most of the time they do not have insurances set up yet. So one of the barriers was we would have them tested and they would have a positive result and we wouldn't have anywhere to send them. So now we work with MH Imaging and we can at least get them sent for a chest x-ray. The TB dispensary will work with our immigrant population to help them with any of their medications that they have, but we still have that barrier of being able to get them set up with infectious diseases doctors. So we're trying to really work around ways around that. But we have found that our latent TB among immigrants is extremely high. Studies from about a decade ago state that it's a 10 to 20% possibility that someone with latent tuberculosis will become active. However, I'm starting to question that data due to many medications. So especially rheumatoid arthritis medications, some diabetes medications are showing that it can cause people to become active. What I am happy to see is that all rheumatoid arthritis, before any patient is starting their medications or with diabetes, they are testing them for tuberculosis, and they are requiring them to get treated for latent if they have a positive QuantiFERON or a MANTO test. So I'm happy to see that. But among our immigration, very high latent tuberculosis.
Any other questions for Gillian?
One of the issues that I'm having is the immigrants are able to get the initial Medicaid, but then because of everybody has to re-up, they don't know how to do it. That's been, where do I send them because of the language barriers?
Yep, we're facing the same difficulties. For many things. We have actually an immigrant from Africa, and I'm going to butcher the language, so I'm not even going to say it, but it's really just one-fourth of the upper north region of Africa speaks this language, so it's been difficult to find a language line, but she came in and with latent tuberculosis, HIV, and hepatitis B, and we're having a very difficult time getting her a provider. She wants a primary care physician, and it's just been very challenging for us. We're having to work with our Vivant Health. We're trying to work with state. I'll keep you posted, Dr. Gerlach, on anything that any education and resources I'm given for this, I will send your way.
Yeah, because the big language that I'm running into is Quiché from Guatemala.
Okay, we have not had that yet.
We have in the clinic, not with Gillian's team.
With my
team. I have six families, all with newborns.
That's challenging.
Yeah.
And what was the language? I can see if there's any resources through state. I can reach out.
Quiché. It's a Mayan language out of the Guatemala and the Yucatan Peninsula.
I will reach out to state, our state representatives that work with a lot of different immigrant populations, and see if they have any guidance or resources for that.
All right, thanks. All right, any questions for her on the report? Let's move on to corporate counsel report. Is corporate counsel on?
I am.
She sure is.
I don't really have anything new to report though.
We should recognize you though as our counsel as we work through that very difficult TB client that we had. I saw you smile when Gillian started addressing it, so I knew what she was referencing.
Yes, I did.
All right, thank you. Any other business? Anyone else have any comments, concerns, questions? Any other comments? Then I would say, can we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
Enjoy the rest of the week, everybody. It's supposed to be gorgeous.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye.